Time for another little shows that couldn't. You can tell by the music that we're still watching Lucky Louie. I'm your host, Brett Medill. With me, as always, is co-host Sean Stewart.
Brett, I got to tell you, I have some good news for you and the listeners.
Oh, boy.
I did the paperwork. I answered the questions. We are officially a gluten-free podcast.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's finally come, 2015. We're here. We're gluten-free. And we're better off for it, I believe.
I agree with you. I know that our gluten content was dangerously high.
It was pretty high.
In 2014.
It was. But we cut all that out.
Can you tell me, how did we eliminate the... can you tell the audience how we eliminated the gluten from this podcast?
Well, I mean, I don't want to give too many secrets.
Well, you know, just give them one little thing that they might be able to do in their life that helped us remove gluten from this podcast, that it's transferable to them.
Well, I mean, more vegetables, really.
That's
is
right.
What we've been doing. That's a lot right. More vegetables.
We've been feeding our microphones more vegetables.
They love it.
We replaced the our board that we capture our sound with has been replaced with one that is powered entirely by Brussels sprouts.
Yep.
And so that's really helped us reduce our carbon footprint and our gluten in
we're definitely
output.
A lot greener because of it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm not just talking about chlorophyll. You know what I'm saying?
So today we've got episodes 11 and 12 of Lucky Louie,
yep.
Titled Louie Quits and Kim Moves Out.
Yeah, we got some fun ones here today.
So just kind of like, a very quick plot breakdown of the Louie Quits episode where we're going to start. Louie finds out that he's only got his job. He gets a raise because Kim asks Tina to ask Mike to give him a raise. So
right.
He gets a raise because of his in a roundabout way, and then he finds out that he only has his job for the same reason, because it was as a favor.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want a pity job, and so he quits,
yep.
And as the title suggests. And
never saw it coming.
No, it was a complete surprise.
Yep.
But Louis quits his job at the muffler shop, his part-time donut-munching job, and and Kim supports him to pursue his dream, his childhood dream of becoming a pilot, that he entertains pursuing very briefly before...
He took at least an hour, but we'll get into it.
Yeah, before turning back to mufflers and eventually, you know... Begging for his job back. As a sitcom is want to do, at the end, we reset to where we were in the beginning.
Yeah.
But in the meantime... Louie quits his job and pursues pilothood
for a little bit.
Yeah, but that's this episode. So I mean,
in a nutshell.
Yeah, so let's kind of break down more, like go into kind of a
let's
few scenes.
Let's go into the episode. Let's go into the cold opening.
Yeah, go into the
about?
Scenes that we actually want to talk about today.
Yeah.
Starting with the cold open,
where Rich decides to marry his mom's friend.
Yeah.
For Medicare.
He just shows up at the muffler shop in a suit.
And yeah, he's just very nonchalant about it. Like, that's one thing I like about Rich. He's very nonchalant. Like, I'm just getting married. It's just piss. I'm going to go pick up some chicks with piss.
Yeah, no big deal.
He just doesn't care when he should care. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that sounds like a bad idea. Well, I'll just cut the brakes on her scooter later. It's all good.
Yeah, whatever. She doesn't want to get divorced. Boom. She's gone.
Yeah.
I got a plan.
I got things planned, you guys.
I got a plan B. Yeah, Rich is...
got all kinds of plans.
Whatever, he's got some super greasy stuff going on all the time.
Yeah.
It's just how he rolls. But yeah, you get in from the cold open, and really, so... Tina and Kim are hanging out. They bond over not having enough... Kim doesn't have enough
well,
money
Kim,
for haircuts.
Yeah, Kim doesn't have money for a haircut, because so Louie's cutting her hair. Felipe is cutting Tina's. Tina's kind of feeling bad for Kim. So Kim eventually asked Tina if Louie could get a raise. And so she asked Mike, and Louie gets a raise.
Yeah. Like we said, Louie finds out that this is how he gets his raise, because Kim already knows about it when he gets home.
Right.
And when he goes to talk to Mike about that and to confirm those suspicions, Mike basically tells him that the only reason he has the job in the first place is because he needed some work.
Right.
So Louie quits.
Well, no, Mike fires him so he can collect DI.
Yeah, right.
Unemployment.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Not EI.
Sure. Hey, no, let me fire you.
No, yeah, yeah.
Come on, let me do you a solid here in this situation. But yeah, it's we just get this emasculation from his wife, you know, like he gets the belly slap when he, you know, like, you did a good job when he gets the raise. Like, oh, you did a good job.
He was whistling when he came home. He was all kinds of happy.
It's just, it's no good, man. And then, so Louis quits, but Kim decides to be supportive of him and allow him to pursue, hey, you know, like, hey, he, we know that part of the show is that in the past, Louis worked presumably at a muffler shop and other places to help her complete nursing school.
Right.
So now at this point, Kim's thinking, well, hey, maybe now Louis gets a turn to do what he wants to do.
For sure. And that's only fair.
Yeah, which seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
But Louis sucks, man. And he, well, he can't do it. He's got no ambition.
But he memorized the whole alphabet, the whole air traffic alphabet.
He's got the air traffic alphabet. He must be super impressive.
He was for that moment, as we see in the end credits scene, that it works for Kim.
Yeah, sure. But,
I mean, yeah, Louis didn't try too hard to become a pilot like him.
No.
I mean, he also had the worst tutors. He had, who was it, Rich and Mike?
Well, he was derailed in the first place from pursuing his dream of being a pilot by a broken copier at the library. So, like, this guy,
yeah, that's true.
Like, this guy, he doesn't have a lot of ambition. Like, he's
kind of lost steam from there.
No, yeah, he kind of, like, the smallest things derail his plans. Like, he's not... Like, it's nice that he worked hard for his wife or whatever, I guess. But we don't see that. We get told that apparently happened at some point.
Right.
But we don't see it. We just see this piece of garbage and just wasting our time, wasting space. And it's like, sure, he's taking care of the kid a lot of the time, and that's good. But, like, he gets a chance to finally go for it. And then we'll talk about this next scene. Like, yeah, he gets a chance to go for his pilot dreams. And, yeah. He goes for our big studying scene where he's studying with Rich. Jerry's there. He's not really helping out.
No,
he's studying with Rich. So, which I would say is it's obvious right off the hop that Louis is not taking it seriously because he has asked Rich to help him study to become a pilot.
Not a good start.
No, it's not going to work out. This is not going to be the way things are going to... You're not going to want this... To go this way.
And that's only further proven when they go for a study break. And Rich pulls out the biggest telescoping bong.
And the biggest bag of weed.
And the biggest bag of weed. And they just start hauling it. It's insane.
It's really, you know, it's not going to work out for him.
No.
It's just plain not going to work out. And, you know, but like you said, yeah, Jerry is there. And they get a little back and forth with Jerry. And Jerry starts kind of feeling bad. And he gets, because he needs to become inspired. Because,
right.
You know, but before we move on, we just, they're studying, and then Kim comes home, right?
Right.
And this is not going to work out for everybody.
In between bong rips, of course. Not when they're actually studying.
No.
Because that would be too convenient.
So Kim kicks Rich out. We know how Kim feels about Rich. We know that Kim doesn't like Rich. It's become
obvious. She screened his calls from Louis.
And we know that. The more we learn, the more we know is that this is not a good relationship between these two people.
No.
So she kicks him out, and Rich just says, hey, you know, he'll finish his bowl on his giant bong on the bus.
Right.
Because that's just how Rich goes.
Yep.
He's got no shame.
Or the park, wherever.
No problem. Whatever.
Wherever there's a seat available.
So we go into the pilot dream is kind of clearly ending. Louis can't take it seriously. There's too much. It's like his dream was very childish and he hadn't really thought through all the things involved in it. He just wanted to fly around in a plane.
That was pretty much. I mean,
like, I want to be a fireman and be on the thing with the truck. And it's like, you know, you actually have to like learn how to do stuff.
Yeah, you have to do things. But I mean, I had the same ambition as a kid. I always wanted to do things in a laboratory. And lo and behold, now I'm in a kind of laboratory doing things.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy. And
inspired by Dr. Bunsen Honeydew?
I was inspired by Dr. Strange. Or no, not Dr. Strange.
Dr. Strange was a magician.
Yeah.
You don't even
Pym
know who
particles
inspired
and all that
you.
Stuff.
Dr. Pym?
No. Remember those little... they're kind of like easy bake ovens, but they like make like gummy worms, like actual worms or spiders.
But they weren't edible ones.
No, they were edible. You could eat them and stuff, but
oh, I thought those were. Like, I thought it was made. I thought those things always made like rubber spiders and rubber worms.
I mean, there were those ones.
Were you eating rubber worms? I think you were just eating rubber.
No, there were those ones, but there was like another set of toys that made like sour cherry brains.
Okay, so it made edible worm,
edible
candies.
Gross things. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And I can't remember what they're called now. It's like Dr.
But it was like,
oh, man.
Dr. Ookie Pants' Candy Laboratory.
Yeah. It's like Spooky Laboratory. Make mummies and then eat them.
Okay.
Why not? I mean,
but
you're
that's
a kid.
What that's what you got
that
as
was,
a present?
That was my inspiration
that inspired
to become,
you to become
a
laboratorist?
Yeah. And here I am.
That's great.
Making paint.
I was inspired by Polly Pocket to become a miniature, and I failed miserably.
One day, once you saw those legs off, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll get the right tools eventually.
Yeah,
but you know, but Jerry gets inspired in the course of this conversation. He wants to get a job, so he wants to get his life on track. So in the next scene, we see Jerry's borrowing a suit from Louis, and he's going to get his complete life. And Jerry's idea of the complete life. Is a job and a stove and a cat.
And a suit. He has Louis' suit.
No, it's a borrowed suit.
Well, I mean, Jerry's been on hard times, you know? He's been whistling Camptown Races, and that depresses the hell out of him.
Yeah, well, Jerry's got a whole, who knows what the hell's going on with Jerry. It's really, it's, the only thing that's clear about Jerry is that he's Kim's brother, and that's the only reason everybody puts up with his presence.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yeah. But, you know, so Jerry gets an opportunity to go for his interview, and he gets hired. Like, we get introduced to the interview. He is getting hired immediately once we get there.
Yep.
Because that is not what's important about the scene.
No.
What's important about the scene is his reaction to getting hired. You know, he is welcomed aboard, and he is inspired. Jerry is on board. He's on board of a soaring ship, and he goes on a tangent for 3 minutes, I would say. He just goes at length. He doesn't even know what this company does when he goes to the interview.
No.
And he goes off at length. And we still really get an idea of why Jerry's life is so odd and pathetic. It's like, because he can't keep himself from doing this in the most important situations.
Right.
And it's really just rough. It's really rough. It's no good. And it's just, it's funny, but it's also like kind of sad. Like, this is Jerry.
Hey, it's Jerry being Jerry.
Hey, look, Jerry can't live a normal life because he's broken inside in this particular specific way that makes people in suits distrust him.
Yeah.
That's all it is. He can get a job making sandwiches somewhere.
Or, you know, eating soup at a soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is what
he could just get hired to do that. I mean, he was helping out.
He was helping out by eating the soup that they would serve him. But that's a whole other thing.
And then we kind of get our last scene we wanted to talk about, which was Louis comes home. And he's become an assistant manager at this place now. So he's dealing with customers and everything. And he hates it. He can't stand it. It's not what he wants
job.
At all. It's terrible. And sure, has he given it much of a chance yet?
No.
No.
He gave it 8 hours.
But also, I feel for him. I don't think it would take me very long that being an assistant manager at fucking Jiffy Lube would be a terrible time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough experience.
That's not going to be fun at all for anybody.
Welcome to Jiffy Lube. Today, you learn how depressing this is. Tomorrow, we teach you how to make a little money on the side from the customers.
Yeah.
Like, that's all there is to that job. And now, well, maybe that's not true. That's not all there is.
There's other things,
like,
too.
But, you know, like,
rotating tires or whatever. I don't know. I wouldn't want to do it, that's for sure.
I got a feeling you get the hang of it pretty quick.
Yeah, I imagine you would.
And then what happens?
You just
do that all day.
You die a slow death.
It's like a slow motion version of a assembly line.
Yeah, pretty much.
What are you assembling? We're assembling people's
oil changes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Gross.
Sign me up.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, people have to work for a living.
That's true. You guys are doing God's work out there.
Try harder so that you don't have to do that.
Or do that, too.
The internet, use the internet to make money. Sell your oil changes on the internet instead of working for the man.
I made $5 a minute by switching to Geico, or whatever they say in those ads.
But in the end, you know, Louis comes home in his gross orange shirt.
Yep.
Which, it only could have been worse if he was wearing, like, a Home Depot apron.
Or, like, an oil drop for a hat or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty gross. And so he intimates that he ate his lunch crying on the toilet.
Right.
You know, and he ends the episode by asking Kim to get his job back.
Yep. Because Louis can't do anything for himself, as we've established throughout the last couple episodes.
Right. And in our post-credits sequence, as you mentioned earlier, he's doing the radio alphabet to turn Kim on while they have sexual relations.
Sex terms.
While they have marital relations.
Yep.
While they grow closer together as a couple. I'm going to make it sound grosser than just talking about it as sex.
Okay, go for it. We have time. We have 5 minutes.
As they intimate their feelings fully with each other. I got nothing else.
So episode 12.
Sure. Well, I guess, I mean, do we want to talk about kind of anything about these characters, what we learned? I mean, I think we learned a bit about Jerry.
He
gets depressed by whistling.
Yeah.
Or he whistles when he's depressed. You know.
We learned Rich doesn't care about anything.
Rich has progressed, though. Rich,
you think so?
Rich is a character that has changed. Okay. I wouldn't say progressed, but changed.
Okay.
At the beginning of the series, Rich seems like he's kind of like a pot-dealing conspiracy theorist.
Right.
But by this point in the series, he's just a full-on maniac that he could do anything, and we would just be like, yep, okay, that's what
Classic
Rich is into.
Rich.
Right? Like, it's just like, I guess all we see of him in the first few episodes is he's like a pot-dealing conspiracy theorist, so that's all we're given to go on. And the more we go, it's like, okay, he does more than just that. But
now
the larger picture of it is that he is a maniac.
He's out of his mind.
Who could be up to anything, and we would have to just accept it.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll accept that.
Yeah. And Louis's just this unambitious lump that he's just crap. He sucks. Like, whatever. I don't know. Yeah, all right. So then
what's the plot for episode 12?
Sure, let's do it for episode 12. The plot in this episode is, of course, well, I'm going to give you a hint. The name of the episode is Kim Moves Out.
Okay, so they go for ice cream. And
that's
they're
right.
All a big happy family,
that's
and
correct.
Everything works out well.
That's right.
The end.
That's right. That's
perfect.
Right. That's very close.
I guess right.
That's very close. That's very close. What happens is Kim's very angry at Louis's existence, essentially, throughout the opening part of the episode.
Of course. Why wouldn't she be at this point?
Yeah. Because guess what? Louis sucks. We all have to face that.
Right.
They have a little showdown, and she needs some space for a bit. So she goes to stay at Jerry's for the weekend. And, and they have to deal with their issue. They get a little space, but they still have to end up, of course, it's a sitcom. So they end up having to kind of deal with their issues and come together again and figure out how this can make them stronger or whatever, right?
Right.
So really, it starts with a party, a barbecue in the courtyard.
With a cold opening.
Yeah, where the whole cast is there.
Where Rich decides to tell a kid's joke.
Of course, it's a joke for kids.
It's a joke
for
kids.
Hey, why did the chicken cross the basketball court?
Why did he cross the basketball court?
Well, he heard the ref was blowing fouls.
Oh.
Which, of course, Mike doesn't get that joke.
No, of course, why would he? He doesn't know basketball.
No.
Wait, no, he does, because they went to that basketball game at the... Come on, Mike.
He doesn't know science.
Wait.
He doesn't know fowls. He doesn't know chickens
and birds.
He's no ornithologist.
He's just big on drinking at basketball games.
He understands basketball. He doesn't understand ornithology.
Right.
I think that's Mike's
real
problem.
Yeah,
Come on, Mike. Get
Mike,
an Autobahn's book, you big bag of garbage.
Just Google stuff.
You mustachioed lunk.
He probably doesn't have Google, though.
Open up your dad's encyclopedia set and look up bird.
Get your Encyclopedia Brown CD.
Get out your Encarta 95.
Yeah, Encarta.
And look up Sparrow.
Going way back. Sparrow.
Look up Sparrow in Encarta, you big piece of shit. Oh, whatever. Look up turkeys. I don't care. Just whatever. Read a book. Learn something.
So Walter, at the same barbecue, decides he wants to bust out his Bill Cosby impression, to which Ellen stops him immediately.
Yeah, no, his wife's not going to put up with that.
Because, yeah, she is not a fan.
She emasculates him. She treats him badly. Like, she really roughs him up in front of everybody for his desire to share his Cosby impression.
But at the same time, it's also saving him embarrassment. Because as we see later on in the episode, it was a pretty awful impression.
It's a bad one.
It's really, really bad.
It's a bad one.
I mean, he's got the face down, but the voice is just not even close.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like she kind of gave him a bit of redemption in a way.
Sure, but it can be tough.
But, I mean, Ellen has, like, complete bitch face 24/7, so...
She seems pretty unpleasant.
It can come off as negative.
Yeah.
Very easily.
So, yeah, so then we get in the next scene, kind of, we get into it, and Kim slaps Louis awake.
It's kind of unpleasant.
The whole thing is kind of unpleasant the way it's going. Not that Louis deserves any better, though. You know, like, I don't know. I don't feel much sympathy for him, despite that he's not really being treated very well.
Well, it's a sitcom. You're supposed to laugh when he gets hit.
Oh, yeah. But then I also laugh when she leaves the room and he's like, "Don't tell me what to do. I'll kill you. I'll kill you."
So good.
Because you know what?
You wouldn't say that to her face.
That's the way I think and speak. Yeah. In my monologue, you don't step off me. I'll stab whoever I want. I'll light your whole
house.
I'll tell my roommate, "Hey, man, don't talk to me that way. I'll light your whole family on fire."
Yeah.
You know, we're not serious. But that's how, you know, that's how it works sometimes.
I'll break all the doors in this house.
I will smash everything. I have fire insurance. I will burn this place down.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, it's great. So Louis, they really have to face that they're not doing well.
Yeah, and he tries to talk to Mike and Rich about it, but Kim comes in, storms in, and just tears everybody down.
She destroys everyone, especially
Mike
when
FOs
immediately. Well, he has... Mike might not be the smartest person in the world, but he's got some sense.
Oh, yeah. I'd say he has some sense.
Like Louis... Basically,
he doesn't know basketball.
Louis makes the move to kind of be tough or whatever. Like,
right. Hey, in front of his friends.
Like, he looks at them and he's like, hey.
Shut up.
Shut up. Yeah. And,
Which doesn't work out.
We're going to do this?
Yeah.
Well, you think I give a hell what... You think I care what they think? And, yeah Mike's like... I'm going to go now.
I'll see you later.
And to his credit, Rich is leaving too.
Right.
But he has to mutter some crap under his breath.
Right.
And then he gets owned. What happens to him?
He gets pretty torn up. Well, yeah, Kim kind of hears what he says under his breath and goes, "Excuse me?" And then Rich kind of goes, "Hey, you know what? Why don't you blow me?"
And Kim owns him. All right. Yeah. Take it out, and if it's hard, I swear to God, I'll blow you.
Yeah.
And he goes complete scared puppy face, and when he just gets confronted...
Little Rich is inside his body at this point, guaranteed.
Yeah, and he's done, and it's over.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
What the hell just happened, Lou?
But they just really have to face... They have a little showdown at breakfast the next day that they have to face that Kim just kind of hates Louis.
Yeah.
Because Louis sucks ass.
Yeah. And she's finally sick of him sucking. She wants to change him.
And here's
something.
The thing, though. Louis kind of has a point in that it's like... It's not like he hasn't been consistent. He's been...
Well,
he's
no,
been
he has a, been consistent.
He's
in his
been
sucking.
Consistent at being a terrible partner.
Right. Exactly.
Which, I mean, I don't know if that's true because it seems like he worked really hard for her to go through nursing school.
That's true.
So
maybe it's
at
just
some
like a now
point,
thing.
I mean, maybe he's been crappy for a while.
Yeah, for sure. Like maybe
like,
after nursing.
That's not excusable. That doesn't make it okay. And so I don't know. It doesn't seem realistic to me that he's always been this way. You know, but clearly he could be a lot better. He sucks. He doesn't like it seems like Kim's only angry that like she wants an equal partner effort wise.
Right.
That's all like that seems like that's what she expects. And that doesn't seem like it's too much to ask.
For sure.
Right. Right? Like
and, yeah.
Sure. She doesn't expect that Louis works full time and takes care of Lucy. But she expects that if he's going to be taking care of Lucy, that he, you know, be treating it like it is his job,
mm-hmm.
in a way, right? Like that at least, you know.
Well, he's basically he's a full-time dad with a part-time job.
She wants to see an equal amount of effort out of him that she feels like she's putting in.
Right.
She doesn't want to feel like he is, like, getting away with life. Like, he's just screwing around and, you know.
So, yeah, Louis compiles a list of the things that Kim wants her to change about him.
A short list. He doesn't complete the list. He can only handle a few things at a time. He doesn't really want a full list of all the things that she hates about him right at the top.
Yeah, not right away, anyways. So,
like, let's bite off a chunk at a time.
So, yeah, Louis goes into full-on Stepford husband mode.
Ugh.
And Kim just can't stand it.
He goes overboard, man.
He goes way too overboard.
But that's not even the thing. I don't even know if he goes overboard. All the things that he does are great.
Yeah,
he just talks really weird.
Yeah, there's no reason to.
He's just talking weird.
Hi.
Hello.
I made you breakfast. Shut up.
He just becomes really unnatural all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not going to work out for them.
So Kim suggests that they spend a little time apart. Mm-hmm. And we finally establish where Jerry lives, underneath them.
Yeah, in the same building.
In the same building.
Yeah.
So Kim moves out. Oh, that's where the title comes from.
Ah.
And moves into Jerry's apartment for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry moves in with Louie.
Because
he has no place to stay. So that gets him out of a bind.
Yeah, he was in a real bind there when he didn't have a place to stay. and so Kim and Tina have a little party and they bond, and Kim doesn't want to go back. She has a good time. And, you know, and Louis has a good time watching
time.
Movies and chilling out at
with
home,
his
too.
Daughter and making food, all kinds of things.
Yeah. And so they're really enjoying that time apart. And they kind of have this meeting in the hallway, like on Sunday or like the last day or whatever. And
he hands her
her mail.
Her mail.
And it's like they have this moment where. It's like, this is no good. We have to work something out here, or we have to break up.
Or we're going to end up being neighbors.
It's one or the other, you know? And so they sit it down, and hey, and, you know, they realize that Louis hates Kim sometimes, too.
Yep.
And, you know, but they have, like we've seen before, it's not at home this time, though. They go out for a dinner, right?
Yeah, they go
and
out for dinner.
And they talk
try to
about
hash
it.
Things out.
And you know, Louis realizes that he hates Kim too sometimes.
Yep.
And they bond over their hatred of each other, and they reminisce, and they kind of realize that they've had this, that there's always been like an element of hatred inside of their marriage, and then they decide that their marriage is actually strengthened
by
its basis in hate.
Yeah. Their hate brings them closer.
It's just, it's so ridiculous, but whatever. Like, these people just keep rationalizing continuing this horrible relationship with each other when they probably, like,
it doesn't seem that
Louis
horrible.
Should be a better person. And
oh, God,
Kim,
yeah. He should definitely straighten up, for sure. But, I mean, it's not an awful relationship they're in. It just has its rocky edges.
Yeah.
Like and, some relationships.
But they're all Louis. Like, they're all Louis.
True.
It's
That's
all
very true.
Louis.
Yeah, if she thinks Louis is going to step up, that's probably not going to happen with the hand jobs at night and when he's thinking about death and all that stuff.
And then the post credits, we finally get Walter's.
We finally get to see his impression.
Like, it's been this slow play throughout the episode. It's kind of been the B story as it goes along, is this impression. And I mean, Ellen was at, like, DEFCON 0, I'm going to leave you if you do this impression in front of anybody.
Right.
And, like, that's not acceptable. Like, that's not cool. Like, she seems, like, really... She, like, if I want to get rid of anybody on this show,
oh,
I'm like...
Oh, God.
Let's
Ellen
get
in
rid
a heartbeat.
Of Ellen. Ellen's... Okay, that's it. Boom. The most extreme elimination of Lucky Louie has got to be Ellen.
Absolutely.
Let's make Walter a single dad next time.
Yeah. Second season. Oh, Ellen died somewhere and somehow.
Give her the Maude Flanders. Hey, I'm all for women of color on television.
Yeah, absolutely. But Ellen is a...
Can we find her a role on Orange is the New Black?
No. Well...
That's where they go.
That's true.
And when I say they, I mean they.
women, right?
Of color on in television.
There are a few of them on Orange
is I mean, that is, that's the show that, like, well, we are luckily at a time where increasingly more shows are being made starring people of various backgrounds.
Well, look at Breaking Bad. All the villains were of Latino descent.
It's because they're... Cause they're
well, let's not try to get racist. Let's keep those jars of racism in the corner,
right? Yeah, you're right. I was going to make... I was... You know what? I don't... I'm not actually racist, so I didn't even have... Like, I was searching for, like a bad racist joke to make.
Right.
And I didn't have one ready because that's
because
not really...
Because you're so not racist.
Well, against Latinos or not.
Nice.
Yeah. We've just, you know, hey... Everyone has some biases that they can't ignore now and again. What's That's important true. Is that we work on reducing them and eliminating them.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Acknowledging them and working on them.
But Ellen, you's a bitch. Get out of my Lucky Louie.
And get onto my Orange is the New Black so I can not watch you. So, Sean, I got to ask you. I mean, look at the bigger picture on this show first,
okay.
On this episode. Like, what are we learning about these people?
Well, Kim does have a threshold to her awfulness that she puts up with from Louis.
Right.
And that's understandable because, like it's been established, there has been a lot of crap that she was going through and that he was putting up with, or that he was giving her, I should say. But, yeah. I mean, I also like that we find out where Jerry lives.
Right.
Because that was kind of a big question mark. Like, why is he...
He's
going...
always around. But yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's like he was always around, but we're never really
sure where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And we finally find out that he lives underneath them.
It makes sense that he's always around because he's hanging around all the time because he lives in the building.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I can think of off the bat.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
I don't know, man. I think we kind of covered a lot of it. Yeah, you're right. We learned Kim eventually needs a break from how terrible this Louis of a partner Louis is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just kind of wish they'd found some ground where it's like, hey, man, at some point you were working harder than this. And they never really connected it to that. And I just wish they had.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like it was right there. So, Sean, who's the MVP? I know who I've got.
I think I'm going to go Jerry.
Me too.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
For sure.
Because the Kemptown races, the whistling, and the whole speech about how he's helping people by...
Eating soup at a soup kitchen.
Soup kitchen. So good.
And yeah.
And his old welcome aboard.
Yeah, his
lecture.
Job interview. He comes over to Bordeaux with three olives. You know, like
just three.
He needs this place to stay. Just like, ugh. The way he wolfs down Kim's eggs when he comes in and they have their conversation.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Ugh. They have the conversation about him needing a place to stay, and then he sits down at the table and he just goes,
"Oh,
like,
right.
Fork
he just starts
after
eating
fork
the
after
food.
Fork after fork." Like,
I forgot about
like,
that.
I swear, whenever he comes on stage, it's. Like, he's really there for the studio audience.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he really starts doing, like, stage acting while he's there that entertains the studio audience, in my mind. Like, I really feel like he serves a function for that. And he's just really funny. And the whistling, like, his acting was great in that moment where he's
for
like,
sure.
Yeah, like, no, like, it gets me depressed when I whistle. Like,
yeah.
Like, and he's
what?
Not depressed, but, like, three notes in, he goes through this change.
Yeah.
But not immediately.
No.
It takes him a few notes to make the change.
For sure.
And it's just, it's exquisite to watch him just like.
Yeah.
Oh, and you just watch his face.
And
his heart, it's just like your heart just sinks. And it's like, how could he do, he managed to do that with his face while he was whistling. And it's just, I'm like, oh man.
And he was whistling for like a whole of like 5 seconds. And as soon as Kim comes in, she's super concerned. She's like, oh, Jerry, you okay?
What's wrong? No, definitely giving it to Rick Shapiro. The whistling, the job interview, everything. Just, ugh. We should be keeping track of who we give it to in each episode so that we can be like, oh, this person was the MVP. By the numbers, this person should be the MVP of the series. But are they? Do you think this person came to shine?
We can
run
the numbers for the finale, which will be our next episode.
So in our next episode, we will complete the Lucky Louis series and
we'll
just
have our
kind
send off.
Yeah, we'll send it off and then
say a couple words.
Yeah, and we'll have some things to say. So follow us at Little Shows Pod on Twitter. Sean Stewman, SHAUNSTEWMAN.
Yep.
And BRETTMAD, Brett Mad, both of us on Twitter. Our website's littleshowspod.com.
Check it
all out. Follow our stuff. Shout at us. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you want us to do next. We're probably going to do Stella next.
Get the name of that that thing I was thinking about earlier with the doctors and the candy. You know what? I'll look it up.
Dr. Candy. Dr. Candy
Dr.
Spice.
Candy. That's, you know what? It probably wasn't too far
Dr. Candy
off that.
Blood and the bloody candy blood.
It's
creepy crawly swarm.
It's
going
to come to me as soon as
we
get off
air,
too, guaranteed.
Gummy, gummy, yum, yum.
But yeah, get back to us with that. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, let us know what we're thinking of.
Yeah.
Do Google's work for us.
Yeah, could you please Google things for us?
Be Come Google on. For us.
Do it.
Bye.
Bye.